The Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you pray, please pray with me. God, would you use General Colin Powell's words to challenge us to pursue your kingdom? He wrote, "Keep looking below surface appearances. Don't shrink from doing so because you might not like what you find." God, help us be such leaders. Help us get past superficiality and deception to reality. I humbly ask in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. President, 49 members are present. Senator Gross is excused.
Quorum is present. The Senate is ready for business. Members, just a couple items before we get started. If you will, I was reminded to make sure you remember your mailboxes over there. They're getting pretty full, so make sure that you check those off and on. We have a count with the members that are online right now. The IT staff had kind of asked if you can just get a show of hands for members that may be participating remotely tomorrow morning. So that we know. So 2, 4, 6, 8. So about 12. Okay. So he just wanted to make sure that the system is ready to go. He did hand out these cards on each of your desks to make sure. Take those with you if you have questions. The system should be live, about a half hour before floor session tomorrow. So make sure to get logged on and everything's working. Or make sure to let your leadership know if you're having problems so that we can get you all logged on in time. So with that, Senator Heinbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm honored today to introduce my brother and sister-in-law from Las Vegas, Nevada, Cal and Marion Heinbaugh.
Welcome to the Senate. Order business number 2, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed on Energy and Telecommunications report that Senate Bills 183 and 201 do pass, and that Senate Bill 176 do pass as amended, Senator Dwayne Nankney, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Finance and Claims report that Senate Bill 7 do pass, and that Senate Bill 51 do pass as amended, Senator Ryan Osmundson, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Fish and Game report that House Bill 163 be concurred in as amended, Senator Steve Heinbaugh, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Highways and Transportation report that House Bills 75 and 256 be concurred in, Senator Gordon Bentz, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Judiciary report that Senate Bills 200 and 223 be do pass, that Senate Bills 215 and 219 pass as amended, and that House Bill 116 be concurred in, Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Natural Resources report that Senate Bill 163 do pass as amended, Senator Jeff Wellborn, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on taxation report that Senate Bills 154, 159, 184, 193 do pass. Senator Brian Hoven, Chair.
So, without objection, the committee reports are adopted.
Mr. President, we are committed on Fish and Game report that Senate Resolution 61 be not adopted. Senator Steve Heinbaugh, Chair.
Senator Heinbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. President. We had a good committee hearing. Nominee was appointed by the last administration. The current administration wants to go elsewhere, so I would recommend you vote yes on this report.
Senator Jacobson.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I'm going to ask to resist this motion. Mr. McKean, not only is an independent journalist and project manager, he's written for Outdoor Life, Peterson's Hunting, Sports Afield, Big Sky Journal, Fair Chase, Gun, Guide Fitter, Game and Fish, Ducks Unlimited. He was the editor-in-chief of Outdoor Life magazine. I mean, I can't think of any person that's more dedicated to hunting and fishing and conservation than Mr. McKean. And again, we have another politically motivated position here, and I would just ask that you resist. Thank you.
Members, the motion before you is to recommend adopt the committee report of a do not pass on Senate Resolution 61. Those in favor of that will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or vote? Senator Sands? No. Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 18 have voted no.
31 senators haven't voted aye, and 18 senators haven't voted no. The motion, the committee report's adopted.
That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll go to our business number four. Messages from the governor.
Your President Blaisdell, on Thursday, February 18, 2021, I signed Senate Bill 19, Regeer. The bill has been delivered to the Secretary of State's office. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor.
Order business number five, but messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the following House bills were on this day for three several times and passed. Title and history agreed to, and the hearing transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 39, Lenz. House Bill 49, Beattie. House Bill 67, Jones. House Bill 139, Welch. House Bill 146, Mercer. House Bill 257, Hinkle. House Bill 295, Cafaro. House Bill 319, Buckley. That the following Senate bills were on this day with three several times concurred in title and history agreed to, and the hearings returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 15, Ellis. Senate Bill 17, Gross. Senate Bill 54, Ellsworth. Senate Bill 74, Solomon. Senate Bill 102, Small. Senate Bill 110, Osmundson. That Senate bills were on this day with three several times concurred in as amended title and history agreed to, and the hearings returned to the Senate for concurrence and House amendments. Senate Bill 114, Ellsworth. Respectfully, Carolyn Cheadick, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bills 290 through 305, 308, Senate Resolution 81, Senate Joint Resolutions 12 to 14, House Bills 39, 49, 67, 139, 146, 295, 319 have been introduced, read first time and referred to committee. Senate Bills 306, 307, 309, and House Bill 257 have been introduced and read. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number seven, second reading of bills.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
Heard the motion, Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Senator Molnar, chairman of the day.
Members, please be in order. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass consideration on Senate Bill 47, the request of the sponsor.
The exception so ordered. Members, you have before you for consideration Senate Resolution number 69, Senator Hovind.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with SR 69. Mr. President, members of the body, Fred Thomas is the governor's nominee to the State Tax Appeal Board. Mr. Thomas has a wealth of knowledge of Montana taxes and tax policy. He is well qualified. Please confirm Mr. Thomas.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Would the senator like to close? Senator has closed. My apologies. Senator Kornhauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the body. I would hope that you would vote no on this. We had a very well-qualified candidate that came before the committee. This continues to be an issue that I think Montanans should pay attention to. These great candidates that came before different committees throughout. This particular one is somebody who actually worked in this job for 22 months and essentially lost his job due to the political motivations that are going on with these appointments. So I would hope you would resist this Senate resolution, Mr. Chair.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, would the senator like to close again? The senator has closed. Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Resolution 69. Wait, I'm sorry. Okay. I don't, hang on. Okay. There's no further discussion. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hovind that when this committee does rise and report that having under Senate consideration Senate Resolution 69 to recommend the same do pass as amended. Floor is open. Does any member wish to change his or her vote?
Mr. Chairman, 30 senators vote aye, 19 senators vote nay.
30 senators having voted aye and 19 having voted nay. Senate Resolution 69 has passed on second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill, House Bill 143. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 143, introduced by Jones and others, a bill for an act entitled an act incentivizing increase in base pays for teachers in public school districts, increasing the quality educator payment for districts that meet legislative goals for competitive base pay of teachers, providing definitions, amending section, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history of the bill and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, now before you, House Bill 143. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 143, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, this is affectionately known as the Teach Act. It is tomorrow's educators are coming home. The starting salary in Montana, quite frankly, is the lowest in the nation. We are losing most of our young teachers to opportunities out of state because, quite frankly, they could make more money out of state. We are going to have a teacher shortage. It's a significant issue. Governor Gianforte made that one of his points when he was campaigning. We're hoping this could be the answer. Again, currently Montana average teacher pay is 25th in the nation. Again, starting salaries, 50th. So here's something we're gonna try and do. I put this piece of paper, it's called a salary schedule, better known affectionately as steps and lanes. For any of you that have been either teachers or on school boards, you're aware of this. Some of you may not be, it's a very simple document. The numbers on the left will correlate to the number of years or what year you're going to be teaching. For in other words, your experience. The numbers across the top are the education, and the BA is your degree that you've got from university. And then the numbers, the 15 on the quarters, the 10 on the semesters after the BA in the second column, that's the number of extra credits you got. How you fit in this salary schedule, where you fit with the number of the amount of experience and the number of education is the salary that you will get that year. Excuse me. The number you need to remember on this thing, top left corner, the very first number, that's the base salary that that district has bargained between the school district, Board of Trustees, and the teacher and the teachers' unions. Everything is bargained. Every number on this thing has been bargained. That base salary, again, the key, there's a multiplier for every box in that salary schedule, and it gets bigger as you go down and across. That's why you get basically double the salary on the bottom in the right corner than you do on the top in the left corner. That'll become a little bit more apparent in a minute. Because the midpoint salary, Montana's in the middle. We tried to figure out a way to raise the starting salary to be in the middle. By coming up with the quality educator payment that Montana already pays to every school district for every educator they have, and that payment is roughly $3,300. Multiply that by 10, you get $33,000. That's somewhere in the middle. That was a good starting point. So they came up with an opportunity for teachers to, or I guess I should say these school districts, by raising this salary schedule that I just showed you, so that box on the top left is 10 times the quality educator payment, which is about, which would be $3,300, we'll call it, or $3,400, we'll call it $34,000, and said if the school district will bargain with their teachers, come up with a situation where that number, the base salary, is equal to 10 times or more of the base quality educator payment, we'll give you an extra quality educator payment, which would be basically the $3,400 for any teacher that you hired that is in their first, second, or third year. So in other words, it gives the districts incentive to raise the salary and hopefully a way to pay for it. The issue that shows up, the salary schedule is so big, those multipliers of the salary schedule, the base salary, will all go up also. So they're going to have to rebargain this and come up with a situation, or it'll cost them way more money. So that puts the onus on both the teachers' unions and the school districts to come up with a way to make that work within their budget. The state is offering an incentive of the quality educator payment times the number of first, second, and third year teachers that they will have. That's basically the bill. There is one other situation. Larger school districts, there's about 400 school districts in Montana. About 350 of them are fairly small school districts. There's about 50 that are called Class 1 districts. They have 2,500 people or more in their school district. They generally pay more. Some of them are going to be close to, if not above, this box, the base salary schedule that would be 10 times the payment. But there's one other thing that they want to deal with. Around the nation, the beginning wage and the median wage, or the average wage the school gets, there's about 70%. In other words, the beginning wage is about 70% of the average wage. In Montana, it's 59%. That's one of the reasons our base starting salary is so low. It's only 59% of the average salary. We'd like to see that come up. Part of the situation they put in here was said, you get the bigger districts, we call them Class 1 districts, and there's about 50 of them. Again, they generally pay more, but we want that to be 70% of the average wage, so that we can kind of condense that and give these districts a way to make this work within their budget. Now, there's nothing dictatorial about this bill. It simply incentivizes schools to close the salary gap. We're trying to help keep our beginning teachers in Montana, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill. I can't not say something about this bill. I thank the good senator from Ronan and Representative Jones for introducing this. Having been a first-year teacher, I was a high school social studies teacher. I had 150 kids coming through my classroom every day. I was coaching basketball, coaching softball, coaching tennis. And it's a struggle. It's a tough job. And if we want our Montana kids to stay in Montana and to be in rural areas, we need to increase our pay, and it's simply that. And an investment in education is what will keep us competitive in the global economy that we have right now. So thanks so much for investing your efforts to invest, and I ask a do pass.
Senator Temple.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and committee, y'all know I'm from a rural community, and out of about the six schools that are in my district, every one of them was short a teacher starting last year. Now, this year with the COVID thing, it's changed a little bit. Nobody knows where the students or teachers are. But this is a small step to get beginning teachers to rural Montana. It's tough enough the way it is. If we can just support this bill 100%, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, would the senator like to close?
Mr. Chairman, a lot of times I won't, but this is an important bill, and I really appreciate all the effort that went in it. I know it's come from the very top, from the governor's office all the way down, and everybody that's been involved in this. We work pretty hard to come up with a situation that we hope will work, hope will incentivize school districts and teachers' unions to have that dialogue and come up with a way to make this work for Montana, Mr. Chairman.
Question now rises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 143, it recommends the same be adopted. Beep. All right, as many in favor of the motion signify by saying aye, those saying no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk shall record the vote. Making the big bucks, I should pay attention here.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye, one senator votes nay.
48 senators having voted aye, and one senator having voted nay. The House bill has passed and adopted on second reading. Members, you have before you for consideration Senate Bill 205. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 205, introduced by Hovind, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the name of the State Tax Appeal Board, changing the name of the State Tax Appeal Board to the Montana Tax Appeal Board, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 49.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 205. What is your pleasure, Senator Hovind?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 205, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Hovind.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, obviously it's a very simple bill. It takes up a lot of paper. The primary motivation for the change of title was the acronym. State Tax Appeal Board, that acronym is STAB. And people didn't think that was a good acronym. So it's been changed to Montana Tax Appeal Board, MTAB. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on this motion? Senator Hovind, would you care to close? Senator Hovind has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hovind that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 205, it recommends the same do pass. Are as many in favor say vote aye, those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye, 0 senators vote nay.
49 senators having voted aye and 0 senators having voted no. Senate Bill 205 has passed and been adopted on second reading. Members of the Senate, members, you have before you Senate Bill 131 for your consideration. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 131, introduced by Solomon Sales and Fitzgerald, a bill for an act entitled an act providing for milk price forward contracts, clarifying that milk price forward contracts do not violate fair trade practices, providing definition, amending sections, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 131. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 131, that I recommend the same do pass. Mr. Chairman, this bill is about forward contracting of the opportunity for dairymen to forward contract. Very similar to what cattle producers do. You hear about calf contracts, you hear about grain people being able to do it. Dairymen have never been able to do that. There's been a change in the sense that now two major co-ops now are who the producers deliver their milk to or produce for, and both of those co-ops are offering Montana dairymen the opportunity to do this. And it's a tremendous production option and also a marketing tool for these folks to be able to lock in some prices, have some stability, which, quite frankly, milk pricing sometimes isn't very stable. And it's a wonderful opportunity for these folks to join the 21st century and have some stability within their pricing system, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Solomon, would you care to close?
I close.
Senator has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 131, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting by saying aye. Those opposed, voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Be calm. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye, 0 senators vote nay.
49 senators having voted aye and 0 senators having voted no. Senate Bill 131 has been adopted on second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 173. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 173, introduced by Howard Bogner, Kerry Regeer, and Small, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising emergency and disaster services laws, eliminating a continuing emergency or disaster without legislative involvement, providing for a legislative polling process by the Secretary of State to extend a governor's declaration of emergency or disaster, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you have now before you Senate Bill 173. What is your pleasure, Senator Howard?
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 173 that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Howard.
During the last crisis and the continual one that we're in right now, I was astounded that the legislature did not get to vote whether we continued a state of an emergency or even that is of a disaster. So this bill, that's where this comes from. And if you will see on page 2, line 19, talks about a state of emergency and that after 60 days, the legislature gets to vote by joint resolution or by poll. Also at that section, it says by declaration, and we lined out that because the president makes a state of emergency, our governor, our legislature, gets to decide whether it continues. Then you continue over to the third page, and it essentially says the same thing, that by poll, the legislature gets to have a word, a vote, of whether we continue a state of a disaster or an emergency. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on this motion?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Weber has her hand raised.
Senator Weber.
Mr. Chair, speak to the bill. We heard this in judiciary, and I voted no for three reasons. First, the bill is a knee-jerk reaction to the former governor's emergency orders to a worldwide pandemic. Second, if this bill becomes legislation, it could hamstring future governors who face similar disasters. We got to have some faith in our governor to have the ability to assess the situation and take the appropriate action, albeit a worldwide pandemic or a forest fire or another emergency like the one that just happened in Texas just the last couple days here. And lastly, if this bill should become legislation, it could put Montana in direct violation to a national emergency declaration. Mr. Chair.
Senator Menzella.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also voted no in committee, and I thought I should volunteer the reason why. This bill takes the 30-day limit on a state of emergency and doubles it to 60. And, you know, we have short summers here in Montana, and 60 days is pretty much could be our entire tourist season. So I do like the aspect where we've added polling the members of the legislature. I like that part a lot, but I don't like the doubling of the length of time for the emergency. So that's the reason I'm a no. And we do have some good bills coming from the House that addresses the polling of the legislature. So I'm looking forward to those. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor care to close?
Mr. Chairman, one of the things that I've realized about all of these bills, I've been told that all of the types of bills that have to do with disaster and emergencies and executive action will all come together, and then they will pick what is the best. My understanding is that 60 days was agreed upon. Now, this may change in the House, but the key is to be able to get the legislature involved. That's the key to this bill, and that's why we should vote green. Thank you very much.
The question now rises on the motion of Senator Howard that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration Senate Bill 173, it recommends the same do pass. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed say no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 29 senators vote aye, 20 senators vote nay.
29 senators having voted aye and 20 having voted no, Senate Bill 173 has passed on second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 185. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 185, introduced by Howard and others, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising the powers of the governor to suspend certain statutes during an emergency, prohibiting a governor from suspending a statute that affects the exercise of an individual's constitutional rights, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the section.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, now before you, Senate Bill 185. What is your pleasure, Senator Howard?
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 185 that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Howard.
One of the things that I believe we saw across the country and even in Montana during this pandemic and being placed under literally martial law is the fact that many states, including our own, literally didn't honor our own Bill of Rights. This bill adds the fact that the governor may not suspend a statute that affects the exercise of an individual's constitutional rights under the United States Constitution or the Montana Constitution during a pandemic or a disaster. We have First Amendment rights, we have Second Amendment rights, we have search and seizure rights, we have due process rights. All of these are in our Bill of Rights. If a governor's able to take away those rights, essentially we don't have them. And that's what this bill is all about, to make sure that only under reasonable situations can these Bill of Rights be altered in any way. Under compelling reasons. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? The question now rises on the motion of...
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sands has her hand raised.
We recognize Senator Vance.
Am I recognized?
Senator Sands, you've been recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the body. I rise to speak to the bill, and I rise to oppose Senate Bill 185. You know, in many ways, this is a bill, again, reacting to the last emergency. And as a historian, I understand our need to learn from the past. But this is not always a good policy, because what if the next emergency is something we can't anticipate? Nuclear war. Who knows? And so... part of the point of these emergency powers that we give to the governor is that it recognizes the fact that the circumstances can't always be anticipated. Some we do, we know about fire season, but some cannot be. And so I think it's a mistake to tie the hands of a future governor, regardless of party, even relative to some of these issues of our Bill of Rights concerns. As Judge Scalia said, no rights are absolute. And in an emergency, there may be cause to suspend some of those temporarily and very cautiously. This bill was also amended in the committee to add an amendment from the good senator from Big Timber to insert in there between rights on page 2, line 2, including section 13-19-1043. Let me read you what that's about. This is about elections. So in addition to saying you can't prohibit any kind of suspension of the Bill of Rights provisions, it also says that, quote, elections may not be conducted by mail ballot when there is a regular polling place election going to occur. Again, how often is an election going to overlap with an emergency that's gone on for months as our last one did? I think this is unnecessary. But in addition, this may be necessary. And so I think we are overreacting in these cases to trying to prohibit a future governor from doing many things that that governor will be held responsible for. I believe we should trust our governors to deal with emergencies as best they can with consultation of the people who need to be involved in making those decisions. So I would urge a do not pass for this bill, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, these bills, like the one before us and this one here, are happening all across the country. Doesn't matter if you're in a red state, a blue state, or a purple state. It was an honor to serve as Speaker of the House last session. That gave me the opportunity to talk to speakers across the nation over the last 2 years. We usually talked 4 or 5 times a year. During the state of emergency that's been going on for almost a year, we've all spoken, and we all spoke loud and clear. There was a lack of communication between the executive branch and the legislative branch. And like I said, it didn't matter whether you were in a red state or a blue state, with a common governor or an uncommon governor, it was all the same. They're not talking to us. They're not weighing in and getting more input from the citizens. We're here, we represent the citizens as representatives. And our voice was not being heard. In fact, there's one state in the Rocky Mountain region that they passed during a special session a very good bill that basically said the governor had to give 48 hours notice on any resolution or any changes to a state of emergency. Because just like the rest of us and all the speakers and leaders across the country, we were waiting on pins and needles. When's the next press conference for the governor? What's the next state of emergency? What's the next resolution? There was no communication for the legislative branch to even weigh in. And I think bills like this, we'll see more coming. That's all we're asking for. Let's be able to sit down. Let's be able to work together, because these are difficult times to work through. We never have anticipated an emergency lasting much more than maybe 30 or 60 days. But when we get into issues like this, we all need to work together. I request a due pass on this bill. Thank you.
Senator McGilvery.
You, Mr. Chairman, speak to the bill here today. I kind of react when someone says we're overreacting. It's like when you get kicked in the teeth or kicked in the gut, you're going to react. We are now in a state of emergency that's going on more than 11 months, 10 months, and it goes on and on and on. And the previous governor eliminated jobs. We have a right to make a living in our Constitution, Article 2, Section 1. We have a right to worship, to assembly, to trial, to travel. These are all constitutional rights that were eliminated during this state of emergency. And we're still in a state of emergency. When does it ever end? This is a good bill, and we need to support it and vote green. Thanks.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Howard, would you like to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Howard that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 185, it recommends the same, do pass. As many those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, and those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye, 18 senators vote nay.
31 senators having voted aye, 18 senators having voted no. Senate Bill 185 has passed on and been adopted on second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 157. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 157, introduced by Heinbaugh and others, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws related to the ability of a student attending a non-public school or home school to participate in extracurricular activities offered by the student's resident school district and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 157. What is your pleasure, Senator Heinbaugh?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 157, that I recommend the same do pass.
Senator Heinbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 157 is about kids. We talk about it all the time. And it's true. Kids are our future, and they're what we're really all about. If you pick up literature that our superintendent of school passes around, a lot of times it'll have on it, it's about the kids. I think it's important to understand it's about the kids. We have Senate pages up here this week, like we do every week, because it's about the kids. We're teaching them the legislative process. And I think it's important that we understand that kids are important. A lot of us have coached and worked on different organization that teaches kids things. So I think it's important to us. I had the opportunity to coach baseball and wrestling, not because I needed something to do, but because it was about the kids. Some of them kids were mine. I think it's important for us to understand that when we're talking about a lot of things we do, we need to remember our kids. Senate Bill 157 fits nicely with Senate Bill 72, which a good senator from Kalispell brought before us. We passed with a big margin and with bipartisan support. In my opinion, there won't be a lot of homeschool kids use this situation because in the more populated areas, homeschool and private schools have their own leagues for extracurricular activities. In fact, they have state tournaments and national tournaments, and some of our kids from Montana have won a long ways in national tournaments. So I think there won't be a lot of rush from a lot of people to use this situation. But when I say it's about the kids, I want to talk about my area and lots of areas in Montana that have small schools. They don't have enough kids to make teams and to make extracurricular activities. A lot of times they have to go, 20 to 40 miles to consolidate with another school. And that's hard on kids because they spend all their time traveling and running around. If Senate Bill 157 passed, kids in non-public schools could fill in vacancies so that there wouldn't have to be so much traveling. So I think we need to think about this bill as about the kids. We worked out the language with the Montana High School Association and with the Montana Homeschool Association when we were writing this bill. Senate Bill 157 came out of the committee with a 9-0 vote. Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Senator McClafferty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill. I will be voting no on this bill, and the good senator is correct. The bill did come out of committee 9-0, but since the bill came out of committee, I've had done a little more research, And I found that Senate Bill 157 seeks to override the Constitution of Empowered Local Control and Local Public Schools school district policy. And in 1997, there was a case brought before the Montana Supreme Court, Capitine versus Conrad School District. And in that case, the Montana Supreme Court found that access to public school districts' extracurricular activities rests within the discretion of the locally elected trustees. And that was put into the Montana Constitution, Article 10, Section 8. I agree. We need to have a bill that addresses this problem so that our children can participate in extracurricular activities. And there is another bill that does that. And that is the Good Senator Bill from Kalispell, Senate Bill 72. And at the same time, it doesn't take away from the local control. So I believe we have a better bill that's in the works. We did pass it out of this floor about 2 weeks ago, and it's on the way over to the House. So there is another bill to help our students who want to participate in extra curricular activities. So that is the reason I will not be supporting this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Acton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak to the bill. I was under the understanding that the Montana High School Association had the last say on who participated in extracurricular activities in high school sports. Now, I argued before a local school district on homeschoolers for middle school kids and was successful. But I was told at that time that as far as high school went, it was up to Montana State High School Association, which this bill would allow for all kids to participate. And I believe they should participate. It wasn't their choice whether they was homeschooled or not. It might be because they're extremely rural or whatever. But interact with the other young people, young adults in that school district is invaluable. So I would urge a green light.
Thank you, Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak to the bill. This is something actually I worked with a good senator on. And when we looked into the Supreme Court case, what it was an individual bringing that case against a school district. And we didn't have a law out there that said this could happen. And that's what this solves. So this puts in statute that that's allowed. Went to the High School Association, talked to them, and they're in support of this bill. So, Mr. Chair, ask for agreement.
Seeing no further discussion, would Senator Heinbaugh like to close?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just would like to talk a little bit about some of the things that were mentioned. I guess I appreciate Supreme Court cases, but one thing we need to understand is that we write the laws. The court don't write the laws. And I think that's one thing that we need to look at. I guess that was some of the things that were brought up in committee. And again, that's what I say. It's about the kids. It's not about a Supreme Court case. It's not about what somebody else thinks. I think it's about the kids. And we worked out the language with the Montana High School Association. One thing that I would like to say is each kid is different. Each situation is different. We had a bill not too long ago about gifted and talented kids. It's not a flat line for everybody. I'll just give you a situation about our situation. We live 35 miles from the school that's in our district. About half of it's gravel roads. By the time we would go to take our kids to school and go get them, we would have 4 hours invested on the road, and a lot of miles. By that time, we would have them pretty well educated. And so I think that we can't just have a blanket situation for all kids. And so I think it's important for us to think about the kids as we do this. In closing, I'd just like to read the states that allow this. I'll start. It's Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Idaho, Illinois, Iowa, Louisiana, Maine, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oregon, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Utah, Vermont, Washington, and Wyoming. If you can just visualize this, every state around us allows it, some sort of participation from non-public school kids. If you think about how deep it goes clear to Minnesota, clear to South Dakota, clear to Iowa, clear to Arizona. And if you take and look at the western part of the United States, there's two states that don't allow it. One of them's Montana and one of them's California. The last I knew, people are tripping over themselves getting out of California. Let's don't be like them. Please vote green.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Highball that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 157, it recommends that the same do pass. As many members in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 33 senators vote aye, 16 senators vote nay.
33 senators having voted aye and 16 having voted nay, the Senate Bill 157 is passed on second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 193. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 193, introduced by Patelis, a bill for an act entitled an act removing limitations relating to sports pools and sports tabs, removing dollar limitations on the amounts of sports tabs sold and winnings, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 193. What is your pleasure, Senator Ellsworth?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 193, that recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and we're going to have a little fun here. So if everybody looks on their desk, there is this little 25-square board. I never actually knew what this was because I've seen this hanging up before in different establishments and trying to understand exactly what it is. And it's simply just a luck of the draw way to participate in sports, different venues, and putting a bet down, having some fun. It's currently allowed in law, so that's a fact. And the only thing we're doing is taking the limit out of there. I think most importantly, when you look at this, and where do these proceeds go? So on the first page in section 3, we're just going to go to the winners of any sports pool must receive 100% of the profit, the value of that sports pool. And then the winner of a sports pool tab game that receive at least 90% of those proceeds. And I understand the tab game isn't played as much because that's got to kind of be printed ahead of time. And this one is typically what you see in our adult entertainment venues. And then I guess you'd go into section B here, and this is where it's also important. Is a nonprofit organization licensed as a gaming operator that maintains records and opens the records to inspection upon reasonable demand to verify that the retained portion is used to support charitable activities, scholarships or educational grants, or community service projects, may retain up to 50% of the value of such sports pools or sports tabs games. And I that's just the crux of it. It's fun. Montanans participate in this. I think Buttes is one of the areas where this is heavily done. And it came out of the House 90-10. I asked for a green light. Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on this motion? Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted an opportunity to get up and give a hug to the President Pro Tem and tell him this is a great bill, it's a freedom bill, and it's for the kids.
Senator Sweeney.
Mr. Chair, I think these boards were invented in Butte. And I like the idea of having fun with this, and I propose that we fill each board with how many times the good senator from Sydney mentioned the word kids, and we all do a in the last bill, and we all do a buck, 50 bucks a square.
Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
The sponsor yields.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, tell me if I'm understanding this right. The way the law reads right now, you can't go over $25, but you could go buy $50,000 of $25 allotments. Is that right?
Mr. Chair and Senator, so some of these boards, and I've seen them go up to 100 squares. So unfortunately, what could happen is, let's say if you're doing a charitable organization and you wanted to sell them at $50 a space, you know, you have 100 spaces, you'd be way above the maximum currently. So that's the reason for the increases. But you, I mean, you can buy as many squares as you like.
Okay, thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, would Senator Ellsworth, would you care to close?
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, and good senator there that gave me a hug, I appreciate it. vote green. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Ellsworth. When this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 193, recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 36 senators vote aye. 13 senators vote nay.
36 senators having voted aye and 13 having voted no. House Bill 193 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 103. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 103, introduced by Curdy and Custer, a bill for an act entitled an act providing for remote participation to conduct cooperative business, providing definitions, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 103. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 103, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Small.
House Bill 103 is the result of COVID. Just like several of the other bills we've been listening to, what happened here was the co-ops couldn't conduct their annual meetings in person because of the inability to do so. So what this bill does is it allows the option to conduct meetings remotely or electronically so you can vote or participate. And it's important to note the bill itself doesn't allow them all to do it. What it does, though, is it doesn't automatically authorize them. It makes it where each co-op can open up their bylaws, and it gives them the option to do so. and it became a necessity and something that you know, we need to be looking at just for the future. So it's a good bill.
Thank you. Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend House Bill 103, signed Senator Gauthier.
Senator Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amend House Bill 103 with amendment number HB 010300102, and I ask that it be posted and deemed read, Mr. Chairman.
So moved. Is there any discussion on the... Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Gauthier.
This amendment was just basically an error in the drafting. They just forgot to add one additional method of voting. They forgot to add electronic voting as an option, so they have proxy mail and electronic. So we're just adding the electronic voting back into the bill, and it was just an oversight, and it was a friendly amendment.
Is there any discussion on the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. As the good senator from Helena stated, it's a friendly amendment. It's all been approved, and it makes it work out correctly. Thank you.
Senator Gauthier, would you like to close on your amendment? The senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Gauthier on House Bill 10 that be amended. As many as are in favor of this motion, say by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye, 0 senators vote nay.
49 having voted aye and 0 voting nay, the amendment has passed. Are there further amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on this motion as amended? Seeing none, would the senator care to close?
Yes, sir. Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, this, as I stated earlier, this doesn't automatically change everything, but what it does do is let them open their bylaws up to incorporate the new law and make it reasonable and make it happen. So thank you. It deserves a green light.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Small that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 103, it recommends the same do be concurred in. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye, 0 senators vote nay.
49 senators having voted aye, 0 senators having voted no. House Bill 103 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you, for your consideration, House Bill 85. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 85, introduced by Cheetah, a bill for an act entitled an act revising utility cost tracking and recovery laws, clarifying commission approval of cost tracking adjustments for electricity supply costs, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 85. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 85, that I recommend the same do pass. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cuff.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 85, carried in the House by Brad Cheetah, was what came at the request of Public Service Commission. The title says, an act revising utility cost tracking recovery laws, clarifying commission approval, and that's really what it does. There's a one-line change. If you go down to line 16, well, excuse me, there's an addition on line 14. Cost tracking and recovery, if the commission approves a cost tracking adjustment for electricity supply costs for a public utility regulated, the cost tracking adjustment must provide for a 90% customer and 10% shareholder sharing of costs. If cost sharing is required and full recovery of costs incurred utility as a result of qualifying small power production. So that's what it is, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate the attention, and that's my opening.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, would Senator Cuff, would you care to close?
I have closed.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff. When this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 85, it recommends the same do be concurred in. As many as in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will read the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye, 0 senators vote nay.
49 senators having voted aye and 0 senators having voted no. House Bill 85 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 94. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 94, introduced by Walsh, a bill for an act entitled an act expanding loan types eligible for the Montana Farmer Loan Repayment Assistance Program, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 94. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 94, that it be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, this is a bill that we passed last time, and it's at the request of the Department of Agriculture. What it is a student comes back from college, graduates from college, there's some loan repayment opportunities if they go into agriculture, and it must be production agriculture. They must be involved in an agriculture farm and be producing on it. So it has been extremely successful. It is paid for through the growth through agriculture part of from the Department of Agriculture. It basically is just allowing a private lender to be a part of that. It turns out that some of the student loans are federal, et cetera, but some students get it through private lending institutions. They want to make sure that's in the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on this motion, Senator Acton?
Mr. Chair, question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes.
Where's this growth through agriculture funded?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ankeny, it's funded through the Department of Agriculture. And it is the growth through agriculture part of it. That's as much as I know.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Solomon, would you care to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 94, it recommends that the same be concurred in. As many as in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye, 0 senators vote nay.
49 senators having voted aye, 0 senators having voted no. House Bill 94 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 142. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 142, introduced by Kazmaier, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising the regulation of hemp, revising the definition of hemp, providing for regulation of hemp crude and hemp derivatives, revising notification requirements, revising affirmative defense for hemp production, providing the Department of Agriculture with rulemaking authority, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 8.
Members of the committee, you have before you now House Bill 142. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 142, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, this is House Bill 142. It is about the hemp industry. It is a request of the Department of Agriculture. The primary purpose of this bill is to align Montana State Hemp Program with the federal hemp program operated by the United States Department of Agriculture. Hemp is a relatively new industry. Because of this, the rules and regulations can change rather quickly. Hemp is a federally regulated crop that must meet certain criteria set forth by the USDA. by aligning Montana's state program with the USDA's standards for hemp, we can assure that our state can adapt when necessary to remain compliant with federal hemp regulations. The bill also makes sure that the Department of Agriculture has clear jurisdiction over hemp derivatives, and those are not regulated until the retail level, and they are such things as hemp fiber, extract, and flower. Ensuring that there is clear guidance for handling hemp derivatives is a key to managing the hemp products manufacturing in the state. And that is a booming, hopefully booming industry that is really climbing in this state. The bill makes clear that the Department of Agriculture is responsible for this. Okay, the bill clearly carves out the state regulations of hemp from state regulations of marijuana, which allows our state hemp growers to continue to have the ability to access banking and interstate commerce. The Department of Agriculture has successfully operated its federally compliant hemp program since 2017, and growers and processors across the state have demonstrated that the industry has great potential. Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report on House Bill 142, recommends the same do pass. The members in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 47 senators vote aye, 2 senators vote nay.
47 senators having voted aye, 2 senators having voted no. House Bill 142 has been concurred in. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes have it. The motion carries. I need a hug, too.
Senate will be in order. The Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate Bills 131, 157, 173, 185, 205 passed. Passed consideration of Senate Bill 47, Resolution 69 adopted. House Bills 85, 94, 142, 143, and 193 concurred in. House Bill 103 concurred in as amended.
Senator Molnar.
I move adoption of the committee.
You've heard the motion of Senator Molnar that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many are in favor, will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? Not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 3 have voted no.
46 senators haven't voted aye, and 3 senators haven't voted no. The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Molnar. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 84, introduced by Ankeny, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revised Consumer Committee Laws.
Senate Bill 84 have been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 35 have voted yes, 14 have voted no.
35 senators haven't voted aye, and 14 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 84 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 134, introduced by Small, a bill for an act entitled Revised Board of Investment Loans for Coal-Fired Generation Remediation.
Senate Bill 134 haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 134 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 165, introduced by Glim, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revised Laws Related to the Department of Environmental Quality.
Senate Bill 165 haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 18 have voted no.
31 senators haven't voted aye, and 18 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 165 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 15, introduced by Anderson, a bill for an act entitled Implement K-12 Inflation.
House Bill 15 haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 43 have voted yes, 6 have voted no.
43 senators haven't voted aye, and 6 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 15 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Order of business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move, or Mr. President, I move that House Bill 143 be referred to Finance and Claims. It exceeds the agreed upon amount.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move that we refer Senate Bill 91, sponsored by Senator Vance, required fiscal notes to include business impacts in Senate, to Senate Finance and Claims. It exceeds the agreed upon amount.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to have Senate Bill 137, sponsored by Senator Fitzpatrick, establish requirements for transparency and prescription drug costs, be referred back to Senate Business and Labor.
Without objection, so ordered. Without objection, we'll go to our business number 10, unfinished business.
Mr. President, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to Senate Bill 241, signed Senator Pomnikowski. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Hoven.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Tax will not meet Monday. We will meet on Tuesday.
Senator Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Local government today, 3 o'clock, one bill, 3 executive actions.
Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to announce that the Petroleum Association Legislative Brunch will be this Sunday morning, starting at 10:30, going until 1 p.m. It will be in Jorgensen's downstairs bank room. It'll be prime rib and then breakfast food, and your families are welcome. So come eat off the Petroleum Association.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Natural Resources at 2:45. Two bills.
Senator Howard.
Yes, Mr. President. Senate Public Health at 3 p.m. Two bills.
Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. State Administration at 3, but I would like to have everybody there at 2:45 to do some executive action. We do have 5 bills. And, Mr. President, if I may be off and out.
Senator Kerry.
I would like to thank our pages this week. Wyatt Biggers, Reagan Hall, Carter Jasper, Natalie Pravlicek. Thank you, guys. You've been a blessing to have.
Seeing no further announcements, members, just a reminder, if you have any bills that are ready for pickup down there, try to get them in as soon as possible. There's a possibility of over 200 more bills being ready next week to be introduced between the House and the Senate. So enjoy this. We'll have a short day tomorrow. Enjoy the weekend after that, and be ready for a long week next week. So, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 8 a.m. on February 20th, the 36th legislative day.
You've heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate will reconvene at 8 a.m.